It's the Colin McEnroe Show. I'm your announcer, Kyone Wolf, and today we plunge into ancient Greece and Rome.
All right, now it's time for an episode of the show, a segment of the show we call Let Us Correct You. And it's things that people think that they understand or think that they're doing correctly, which we maintain that they are not. And the good thing about listening to this is then you get to correct other people. So my contention is that people use the term the Heisenberg effect the wrong way. Joining us now is Brian Stewart. He's an associate professor of physics and director of the Wesleyan University Molecular Collisions Laboratory. I didn't even know there was one of those in Middletown. I'm not driving down 91 anymore. And first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a treat to be on your show.
And when people talk about the Heisenberg effect, I think they typically – we had kind of a hilarious preparation for this because I said to Patrick, my producer, so they say that it means when you look at something that changes it, that there's sort of an observer effect. And when what it really means is, and we looked at each other and Patrick said, well, you can locate one thing, but you can't. And then we realized we had no idea what it meant. So that's why we're turning to you. What is the Heisenberg effect?
Well, you're certainly moving in the right direction with the correction you're making.
Mm-hmm.
The Heisenberg uncertainty principle, as it's usually called,
yeah,
refers to the impossibility of precisely measuring both the position of an object and its momentum or speed.
And in fact, I did, while we were getting ready for the segment, uncover a joke, which is that a cop pulls Heisenberg over and says, sir, do you know how fast you were going? And he goes, no, but I know my location.
Well, you've just ripped off the joke I was going to offer you later on. But I'll try to be amusing anyway.
All right. No, you will be amusing. Well, I mean, first of all, back up and in as simple layman's terms as possible, explain what this means or why this is important. In other words, why was this a significant finding for Heisenberg to have made?
Right. Well, it was an important part of the development of quantum theory, which is the modern theory of matter. And in a way, it's part of a debate that's been going on since ancient times about the nature of matter. The argument as to what really matter is made of course, goes back to the ancient Greeks, something you've been talking about just now,
mm-hmm.
But intensified in the Enlightenment as people like Isaac Newton and Robert Hooke argued whether things were waves or particles, and in particular, light was the focus of their arguments because light is an extremely infuriatingly difficult thing to grasp. As the 19th century wore on, evidence accumulated that light was truly a wave phenomenon, and when the electromagnetic theory was developed, that seemed to settle the matter. And then in 1900, Max Planck found that you can't really explain fully the nature of light unless you assume that it consists of particles, and we were right back where we started.
Now, this may be something that I should actually go get a Wesleyan education to have answered, but we'll try it right here. If it's true that the measurement of position necessarily disturbs a particle's momentum and vice versa, which I understand to be what it is we're saying about the Heisenberg uncertainty, why would that be? I mean, why would it be? It almost does sound then like the act of measuring does have an actual effect somehow.
Yes, that's certainly true, but I want to bring you back to this wave-particle duality.
Okay.
Because a particle in our minds is something that, of course, has a location, and we can also imagine it moving with a very well-specified speed. But waves are things that are much fuzzier, and it's easier to accept that a wave can't be located precisely in one place. After all, it wouldn't be a wave if it were at one single place. It would be a particle.
Right.
And there are many kinds of waves. Some of them extend throughout a large amount of space, and some might just be a little pulse. You know, perhaps your canoe tips and you see a little wave emanate from your canoe and take off across the river. And these different kinds of waves are spread out more or less. And in classical physics, waves are more well located in space if they consist of many different frequencies, which in turn means many different momenta or velocities. If I have just one wave that has just a single velocity, then it's going to extend throughout a great region in space. And this is nothing very earth-shattering until all of a sudden you decide that a particle is also a wave, and you impose these wave-like properties onto things that up until that time you had thought were just dots.
Hmm.
And then you get into big trouble, and it was in the course of trying to disentangle all of these things and in part reacting to a competitor, Schrödinger's approach to developing quantum theory, that Heisenberg developed his uncertainty principle.
Well, anyway, I think I understood most of that anyway. But the bottom line anyway is it's an oversimplification to say that the simple act of measuring something, anything, changes it.
It is, and it's because the thing is uncertain from the get-go.
Right.
There is no exact position that an object possesses, and there is no exact speed at which it can be said to be going. And while it's true that you disrupt it when you measure it, that's not the whole story.
Yeah. I think that's the missing piece. I think we just figured out the missing piece. And so that's our let us correct you moment. And unfortunately, that's also basically all we have time for. So I want to thank Brian Stewart, Associate Professor of Physics and Director of the Wesleyan University Molecular Collisions Laboratory. We'll get you back for another one of these because I'm convinced that that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know, has also got people all tied up in knots about quantum theory and all the wrong stuff. And you seem to be able to explain it. So thanks very much.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, appreciate it.